I invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. If you haven't been working on your memory work for Vacation Bible School, here's an opportunity to, if you haven't memorized verse 1, you will have it memorized, I believe, by the end of this lesson. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I believe in order to understand the Scriptures, we need to understand what was going on in the lives of the original recipients. So let me remind you of some things that were going on in the lives of these Christians, the recipients, the original recipients of the book of Hebrews. You see, this letter was written to a group of Christians who had been Jews, who had come out of Judaism. But yet they were struggling with coming out of Judaism. You see, they wanted to follow Christ, but on the same hand, they wanted to keep the law of Moses. In fact, some were even on the verge of departing from Christianity altogether. Well, the Hebrew writer, writing by inspiration, is reminding them a key word in Hebrews is better. It's a better way. Christ is a better high priest. The New Testament system is a better system built upon better promises. And on we could go. But it was written to encourage these Christians to follow Christ fully. What compounded this struggle that they were having was that they were being persecuted for their faith. And so add that to the mix and you find a group of Christians who are struggling. Perhaps it's because of these things that they began to question their faith. They're unsettled in their convictions. And they felt that their faith brought them no security. Because of persecution and even imprisonment, they're at the point, the Hebrew writer says, of falling away, of shrinking back from following Christ. The realities, as James Thompson has well said, the realities of faith had become nothing more than a mirage. So what's the answer then? The answer to their shrinking spirits, according to Hebrews 11, is faith. They needed a stronger faith. But as you consider what was going on in the lives of these Christians, the original recipients of the book of Hebrews, I want to ask us, can we relate to their circumstances? Think about these questions. Do we often get so focused on the things of this world that we neglect spiritual things? Do we get frustrated when we do not see God's promises immediately fulfilled? Do we ever get confused when we don't see God's hand in our circumstances? Have we been tempted to quit because we have found the long pilgrimage of Christianity to be difficult, especially in today's world? Have the realities of faith become a mirage to us? If so, the answer is still the same. We need a stronger faith. Well, what is faith? Faith may be one of the most misused words in our vocabulary. Here's some of the usages of the word faith, this idea of faith. Some would equate faith to positive thinking. You have to believe, we are told. And sometimes it's believe in what? The what is left off. Just believe. You got to believe. You got to have faith. You got to be positive. And so with this, at this level, it's equated to positive thinking. For others, faith is a subjective feeling. It's tied hand in hand with emotions. And so a strong faith would be evidenced by strong emotions, subjective feelings. For example, there's a company in Las Vegas called Thrill Seekers Unlimited. And what they specialize in is vacations, what they call adrenaline vacations. And what they provide for those who are not so faint of heart are bungee jumping experiences, fire walking, paragliding, and rock climbing. For those adrenaline rushes, hence adrenaline vacations. I love to read about a man by the name of S.L. Potter from California. He went on one of these adrenaline vacations. He did the bungee jumping. The unique thing about it is that he was 100 years old. His children, ages 68 to 74, were vehemently opposed to their father's experience. But he insisted, and he climbed a 210-foot tower, and successfully executed his jump. His first words after this successful jump, "Give me back my teeth." But an adrenaline rush, no doubt. But some would equate faith with those type of emotional experiences. Some would say, "I don't have faith because I don't feel emotionally charged at this moment." But some would equate the two. To some, faith is equated with this exhilarating experience. But yet to others, other people reduce faith to right opinions on select issues. Having all the answers, or the answers we think they should have. Well, what is faith? Well, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Notice first of all the focus of faith, the theme of our vacation Bible school. What is the focus of our faith? To answer that, let's look at what it's not. It is not in things seen. The focus of our faith is not in things seen. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But today, most people build their lives on the realities of things that they can see, that they can touch. Our secular culture, with its extraordinary wealth, proclaims that reality and joy is found in job promotions, new homes, countless other status symbols that become the foundation of so many people's lives, the things that are seen. But you can see by faith's definition that that mindset is opposed to what the Bible calls faith, because the focus of our faith is on those things that are not seen. Faith is a substance of those things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For many people, nothing could be more uncertain than things not seen. But it's upon those things that are not seen that we base our faith. You see, for the author of Hebrews, the God-guided author of Hebrews, the world we see is only a temporary reality. One day, all these things that we can see and touch will come to an end. But it's those unseen things that comprise the real world. And these are the subject of our faith. It's what faith is. That's the focus of our faith. Notice the words of Paul, 2 Corinthians 4:18. "We do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." You see, the focus of our faith is upon those things not seen. Our focus is on God. God is a spirit. John 4:24. We can't see God. We see evidence of God, absolutely. But we cannot see the person of God because he is spirit. And the blessings that he longs to give us are of a spiritual nature, so many of which we cannot see. We cannot see the forgiveness of sins. We cannot see love tangibly, though it can be demonstrated. We cannot see hope. We cannot see heaven. But that's where our faith comes in. It's the substance of those things hoped for, the evidence of those things not seen. Look at those phrases a little more closely. Substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Literally means a setting under. By extension, it means to have assurance or confidence. Others have translated this phrase, "Faith is a firm and well-grounded confidence in reference to the objects of our hope." The word assurance is also used. Faith is assurance of things hoped for. It's being certain of things hoped for. Faith is that which enables us to treat as real the things that are unseen. I love the idea that an analogy that we can make of a powerful telescope. Some have said that the use of a telescope is somewhat analogous to faith. Because there are things out in space, obviously, that we cannot see with our physical eyes. But a telescope, looking through those lenses, and it enables us to see those things. They bring those things that are real, that we cannot see with the naked eye, to us so that we can see them. Faith is that which brings those things which are not seen to our minds, to know, so that we can know that they are real. They become very real to us. And because of that, that faith directs our lives. It impacts our lives in a positive way. So those things for which we hope but cannot see, like eternal life, our eternal inheritance, the hope of rest, the hope of being like Christ, 1 John 3:1-3. All those other things that we cannot see. Faith is that substance of things hoped for. By faith, they become real to us so that it impacts our lives. Faith is also described as the evidence of things not seen. This word is a term from the law courts. It refers to an argument of disproof or refutation. It is used of cross-examining someone with a view to establishing evidence. So it's translated evidence or conviction in these instances. And the meaning is that faith in the divine word and the promises of God is equivalent to or supplies the place of proof or demonstration, physical proof or physical demonstration in regards to the objects of the unseen world. By faith, those things, those unseen things, are as convincing proof as those things that we can see and touch. But that brings us to the foundation of faith. How can we have such assurance, such confidence? Notice two things about the foundation of faith. And the first one is the foundation to our lives that faith provides. That word substance, faith is a substance or assurance of things hoped for, again, literally means a setting under. It refers literally to something that stands under of a foundation or a substructure under another. James Thompson writes, the word literally means that which stands beneath. It suggests a solid foundation or a place to stand and the security and stability of one who stands on solid ground. What's the message? Faith, our faith in God, provides that firm foundation upon which we may stand. That's the power of faith. It's the foundation which faith provides. But notice, secondly, concerning this foundation, what is that that undergirds us? What is that that supports us? What is it that provides that solid ground upon which we can base our lives? It all goes back to the Word of God. That's our foundation. That's the foundation of our faith, because God has spoken. God has given His word, His promises, and we can stand on those things. When God speaks, His word is to the believer an end of all controversy. It is to the Christian what a demonstration is to the mathematician. It gives confidence with respect to whatever is promised. It begets conviction with respect to the truth of whatever is affirmed. For example, in God's word we find these words: the hour is coming, Jesus says, in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Wait a second, we're talking about something that we can't imagine. We're talking about something that we don't see happen. How can we know that these things will happen? Because God says they will happen. And that provides that firm foundation upon which we can stand. Behind it, not only are the promises of God, but His faithfulness throughout the ages, that what He says will indeed happen. And we can base our lives on that fact. You see, the foundation of faith is God's Word. But notice thirdly, the fruit of our faith. When our faith is built, when we establish our lives and build our lives on that faith because of what God has said, here are the fruits. Number one, it pleases God. By it, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. Verse 2 of Hebrews 11. Verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God is looking for faith. He is looking for us to trust Him, even though we can't see things, even though we can't touch some of the things He has promised. It pleases Him when we have faith, when we trust Him anyway. A second fruit of our faith is that it produces perseverance. And as we study in this VBS, and I propose that on Sunday nights we continue to focus on faith in Hebrews chapter 11. But as we study these great heroes, men and women of the past, and their faith, we'll see that there was nothing easy about their lives. That many of them faced extremely difficult challenges. But one of the lessons that we learn is what sustained them was their faith, by faith. That's what they had in common, their faith. And their faith caused them to persevere. Neil Lightfoot, in his commentary on Hebrews, writes these words. In the long chronicle of heroes given here in chapter 11, the author stresses three characteristics, particularly in the lives of men and women of faith. Number one, their all unfaltering trust in God. Number two, their vision of the invisible. And number three, their power to press on in hope. That's the fruit of faith, folks. It gives us that power to press on in hope, even when we face difficult circumstances. As one reminder, Hebrews 11, beginning with verse 35. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings. Yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. And these unnamed people of faith, how are they able to endure these things? In a word, faith. By faith, they persevered. And faith, one of the fruits of our faith, is that it enables us to persevere through those difficult times. You see, these men and women of faith knew that faith involved enduring, even when there was no immediate answer to their agony. Faith meant holding on in spite of all appearances. And that's what faith means to you and to me today. But then finally, another fruit of faith is that it leads to a prize. It leads to an eternal prize. Hebrews 11, verse 9. By faith, Abraham dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly, they seek a homeland. Verse 16. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Another thing that sustained those people of faith was that they had something to look forward to. They had God's assurance through His Word, through His promises. There was something better that lay ahead. And many of them died not having received those promises, but they lived in view of those, knowing that one day, even if it meant on down through time when Jesus would come back and take his people to heaven, they knew that one day all of God's promises would be fulfilled. There is a prize that awaits. William Barclay, in summarizing this concept of faith, says, to the writer to the Hebrews, faith is absolutely certain that what it believes is true and that what it expects will come. It is not the hope which looks forward with wistful longing. It is the hope which looks forward with utter conviction. In his commentary, William Barclay writes about a humble Christian many years ago in the early days of persecution that was brought before a panel of judges because he was a Christian. And this humble Christian, unnamed, told those judges that they could do nothing to shake his faith in God, because he believed that if he was true to God, that God would be true to him. One of the judges said to this Christian, do you really think that the likes of you will go to God and to glory? This Christian responded, I do not think. I know. I know. How can a person know that what God's word says will occur? How can a person know that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for his own? How can I know that I am a child of God and saved from my sins and can look forward with eager anticipation that eternal prize? It's not through our own efforts, but it's a trust in God. It's a knowledge that it's not how good we are, but what Christ has done for us. And that when we commit our lives to following him, when that is our aim and our intent, that the blood of Jesus covers our sins, and by his merits, we can know that we have a home in heaven. 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, Paul says, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. How is your faith this morning? May I encourage us to stay in the Word of God so that our faith may be built up, Romans 10:17. May I encourage us to engage in Bible study individually and collectively as we come together in Bible class, in vacation Bible school, to study the Word of God, to study about him so that our faith may be built, that it may grow stronger. And it is our hope and our prayer that our faith will lead us to submit our lives to God, to trust him, to stand upon his promises. And it may be that there's one or more this morning that has never taken that stand on God's promises, that has never obeyed the gospel. Won't you stand on this promise that God so loved us so much that he gave his son to die for our sins? Won't you stand on this promise that if you believe in Jesus, if you will turn from sin and repentance, that if you will confess Jesus before men and be baptized, immersed into Christ, then God will wash your sins away? Won't you stand on this promise when it says in the Word of God that as we walk in the light, as we make that our aim to walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse us from our sins? Are we walking in the light? Is that our focus, that by faith we continue to live for Christ? If you're subject to the invitation of Christ this morning, we invite you to come right now as we stand and sing.